When ravishing rebellion reigns, then loyalty is led in chains. The royal princes of the blood by traitors are not understood. But they could not his fate pull down that was preserved for England's crown. Witness the heat at Worcester fight, which put a royal king to flight, when twice a stately horse was there shot under him by chance of war. But all that chance could not throw down a prince preserved for England's crown. Yet was he forced to quit the field. Princes sometimes to slaves must yield. He with some faithful lords did fly to places for obscurity, and at the farmhouse there did he disrobe himself of royalty. A chain of God whose good account did to £300 amount. He gave a trusty servant and discharged them all from his command. Then the Lord Wilmot with their knives cut both their hair to save their lives. Thus with one friend faithful and good, he wanders through an obscure wood, until a hollow oak unknown was made the king of England's throne. And all the succor that was brought was by this loyal servant sought. But Wilmot in his wanderings, a soldier met of the old kings that knew him and with true goodwill secured him in a malthouse kill, where he lay sweating almost feared till soldiers came, searched and retired. 'Twas ne'er the house of Mistress Lane, whose name let no wild tongue profane. The Lord with dangers most distressed told how the poor king was oppressed. To Mistress Lane, whose sighs and tears did show her sorrows, griefs, and fears. She humbly doth implore that he would seek his sacred majesty and bring him thither that she might take speedy order for his flight. Brave Wilmot he with eyes ne'er shut till with much search he found him out. Then from the hollow tree he brings this heart of oak and best of kings to Mistress Lane's, whereafter she did kneel unto his sovereignty. They call a council how he should in safety pass the ocean flood. Bristol was thought the privatest place where shipping might attend his grace, and as her servant William he must cloak it in her livery. Likewise before her he must ride, only her father-in-law beside. He was aweary of the cloak, as he was lately of the oak, But Master Lastolasmos fit uncloaked the king and carried it. No danger in the way they saw until they met her brother-in-law. The brother spied and quickly spoke, "Sir, why bear you your servant's cloak?" But she made answer, "'Tis so great that it doth thrust me from my seat." Her brother answered thus by art, "They talk to no more, shake hands and part." But note a change of more renown. As they were passing through a town, they met a troop of horse which might have put them all into a fright. But their good faith so gentle was, they through the captain's troop did pass. When they came to their inn at night, the cookmaid gave the king delight. She asked his birth and whence he came. "A nailer's son in Birmingham," replied the king. "Prithee," quoth she, "my jackass down went up for me." The king, unused to deal in jacks, winds up until the tacking cracks, at which the wench, if full tales be true, railed at the king and called him booby. The king went out and laughed, but they next day to Bristol made their way. At Bristol all their hopes were drowned, for no convenient ship was found. From Mistress Lane he parts and goes, with trusty Wilmot amongst his foes, to London and to Westminster, ith hall where the Scotch ensigns were. At Bristol all their hopes were drowned, for no convenient ship was found. From Mistress Lane he parts and goes, with trusty Wilmot amongst his foes, to London and to Westminster, ith hall where the Scotch ensigns were. He wandered up and down the town, by some concealed tomb must unknown. 'Twas not £1,000 could make them their fidelities forsake. A ship is hard, the master straight begins to understand his freight. Quoth he, "What lading do you bring? I surely know this is the king. If I this strange adventure run, I shall be utterly undone." But with his heart they did prevail, and valiantly he hoists up sail. Quoth he, "If I on Tyburn swing, 'tis for the safety of a king, and if he ever crowned be, he surely will remember me. The wind blew fair, Havre de Grace in France became their landing place." He rides to Rouen and writes from thence to Paris of God's providence. The Duke of Orleans did come with friends to bid him welcome home. And now in London 'tis well known he was preserved for England's throne.